Do not attempt to adjust your programming. You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Again, Ryan, it says do not attempt to adjust. Listen.
Play the bass.
Wicka, 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 wicka. Is that how Spider-Man does it?
He does it like this.
Somehow.
Wrong one.
Welcome in, everyone, to B-Movies and Beyond, which I guess this is going to be episode 261. It's going to be a very special one. We kind of decided this on the fly that...
No, we kind of planned this out like a week and a half.
I mean, we all went and saw Spider-Man.
On purpose.
Together.
Yeah, on purpose.
And together.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a big thing.
On.
We spent time together.
I know. But then we quickly got out as fast as we could.
Yeah, we were like, oh my God.
I mean, we had a difficult movie theater experience. They definitely had some issues over there.
Not my fault, though.
Well, it's not at all your fault.
Peter's fault.
Not at all.
All Peter's fault.
We just have high standards, and Peter doesn't like to commute far.
Yeah. I did a lot of commuting on the day that we saw it, and I didn't want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say? If we went to another theater, it could have been the exact same thing.
No, I heard the Promenade had some really good service there.
You heard. So, all right. It's a dynamic trio.
It's hey, it's Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3.
But that's right.
Are you Spider-Man 2 or are you Spider-Man 2?
Hey, we're all wearing black. Are we all Venom?
Ooh.
Which one are you?
I'm all the Spider-Mans.
I'm going to be Topher Grace.
You look more like Andrew Garfield.
He was never Venom.
Because he never fought the alien.
Oh, are we saying which Spider-Man? Okay, we all get to be a Spider-Man. I want to be... Which Spider-Man do you guys want to be?
Well, I want to be...
I'll be cartoon Spider-Man.
Okay, that's fun.
Sweet.
Dude, that guy was like 43 years old in that
exactly.
show. He's like a grown-ass adult taking photos with his... Oh, you are cartoon Spider-Man.
Right?
He's Topher Grace.
I take pictures.
He has a true camera.
He does have a... Oh, is only the... Tobey Maguire's the only one that did camera work.
Photography.
Yeah.
There's a term for that.
Camera work. Yeah.
Are we limited to the movie ones?
What do you mean? This is all Spider-Man. We're
doing a Spider-Man episode.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
I'm Peter Parker.
And
this is Peter Parker.
This is the great way to end
Peter Parker. And he's Peter Parker.
The year, even though you'll get this for the new year, which I guess is a perfect way to bring in the new year.
Yeah.
It is. New movie, new year. Let's do this.
Even though we recorded it last year.
And this movie came out.
So weird. There's so much time traveling in this. This is crazy.
Yeah, don't get upset.
The backsplaining.
This is the multiverse, I think.
Dude, that's...
I think we're in this. And so, how do we kick this off, guys? I don't even know. Like, do we talk about our movie experience first? Or do we go into a
quick...
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, we can start off with how we showed up at the movies, and then I was waiting.
Hey, no, this is a good point. When's the last time we all saw a movie together?
I saw a movie with you. I saw Ghostbusters Afterlife, but not with Evan. It's been a long time, because Evan doesn't like to leave his house.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we all made it to the movies.
All the food was sold out. Popcorn is too damn expensive.
Oh my God. Popcorn I got. I was like, I'll get cheddar popcorn. And the...
You got both the popcorns. Yeah. So we get to the movie theater. Like, first, this is a...
No,
big
I got to the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
And I waited.
I get there right on time. Because you do.
Right
you,
on time.
You buy your tickets and you get assigned seating.
How many previews did we miss, sir?
All Who of cares?
I missed
Sonic.
You
watch all the trailers.
I missed Sonic.
See, that's... it's not the same, though.
Yeah, I miss Sonic.
I'm fine with it.
You know, I still don't understand all these years of you going to that theater. You don't realize how shitty it is.
I've been there plenty of times and it's been fine.
No, every time it's been shitty.
What was
you
shitty that last time?
Ruined Clifford.
That was so I made it shitty for someone.
You
for a whole theater.
Bought the tickets for the wrong day, ruined all those kids' experience with Clifford during the sad scene.
Yeah.
And because of that, Ghostbusters was a different experience. I was hoping to see a giant big dog run the through ghost? Ghostbusters.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And then
what if all those like people from there, like they found us and like you fucked with our movie, we're gonna fuck with yours. Oh,
dude, if they gave you a beatdown, I would totally step back for a minute and be like, yeah. And then give you a couple kicks.
It was those kids.
Those meddling kids.
Yeah.
Let's Scooby Doo this shit.
All right, are we ready to get in the movie?
Yeah. Again, spoiler alert, because you really can't talk about this movie without spoiling anything.
I was thinking the same thing after I saw it.
Yeah.
It is
Let's try.
Extremely hard.
You guys want to try?
So Tom Holland's in it.
So, and
Zendaya.
Oh, too much.
Shit. And Doctor Weird is in it.
Yep.
Doctor Strange. And
oh, I was like, who the hell is Doctor Weird? Did I miss this Marvel movie?
Ned is in there.
Ned's in there. And it takes.
Which has Ned always, like, does he just always wear
the same varsity jacket?
No, yeah. No, a wig. Like, has he always worn a wig?
I think the first movie was his real hair. And then now, he thought he was cool and losing weight and wearing gold chains and he's still a bad actor and bald.
I like Ned.
I don't like Ned.
I like Ned.
I don't like Ned.
He'd be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I want him to be my chair guy, the man in the chair.
I would rather have you be my guy in the chair.
I know who I wouldn't want as my man in the chair is probably you. Because you get distracted all the time.
Dude,
just send me like random pictures like, Ryan, this isn't helping me at all.
No, you know who would be terrible at it? It was a...
It's a toss-up between you and Jeremy, I would say. You would both send me like not relevant information, I think.
It would be, well, mine would be Johnny Walker. That is a totally different story. We were trying to find like a location. Anybody who you're trying to like centralize a location and they don't give it to you and then they like send you off somewhere else, that's the worst heist person ever. Evan, I think you'd be a good chair guy.
I just don't know how to work technology.
Well, you could sit in a chair, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
Actually, no, you're really bad at technology. Cause
I prefer
couches,
though.
I'd be like, Evan, like, what's the coordinates of this spot? And you're like, what's the password to log into it? And
I'm like, shit, I forgot. Is it password?
And then, well, you'd be bad too, Peter, because you would be like, hey, I'd be like, he'd be like, hey, what's the password? And then you would like, give me this obscure password. That like, password should be kind of easy.
Why would it... So my job as the chairman is just to give you passwords to get into our accounts?
Possibly. What if I need it at that point in time?
Well, at least I would have it. I have all my passwords well documented.
Yeah, but however, like typing in your passwords, it's like...
Yeah, it would be long, but I have it. Though.
Like go to the numerical value.
It's not like Ryan where it's like, try this one. Okay, now try this one. Oh, try this username instead.
But the password is consistent.
Oh, you did a couple different passwords. Does it have an exclamation point? I don't know.
That's the only difference. If it's required to have punctuation, that's my only difference.
I see.
Okay, so this movie basically starts off with, like, right after the last one.
Basically, it's Peter Parker saying, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think it's, like, really supposed to be, like, a week after.
Mm-mm. No, it's instant.
It is like right after
moment it happens.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
At the very end of the second one, which I did not like, it ends with Mysterio releasing this video and saying that Spider-Man is evil, which I like. They do all that. You know, was that really necessary? Because they got like they fixed that like very quickly, which was to me very unnecessary, because the part that was actually really interesting was the fact that like the Mysterio also reveals that it's Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and Jameson does it
close enough.
Yeah. And then like everyone's like, oh shit, you're, you know, he drops off MJ on the ground, he's about to swing away, and then that happens, and then he's like, oh shit, because they start like trying to like pick a fight with MJ and then with him, and then he has to get away. And craziness happens, and I really like that aspect of how just everyone knows who he is, and it's like they're all coming at him, and like I was kind of actually surprised that it died off so quickly, and then, you know.
I mean, it just shows that how great RDJ was. Like, he was Grace Under Pressure, because he's just like, guess what? I am Iron Man, bitches.
Yeah, he owned
it. And then it's all like, yeah, I'm not a 17-year-old high schooler. I am a grown-ass billionaire.
Do you think it's necessary, though, that they, like, Mysterio, like, said, like, oh, yeah, he killed them? You know, like, it was him, actually, even though, like, they pretty much instantly just, they hit Matt Murdock, which I thought I was looking at some, like, Easter eggs, and they're like, oh, that's the Easter egg. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, no one knows who that is? Like, that's not an Easter egg.
A lot of people didn't. Like,
really?
The first time I went, I heard very much adults like, oh, you know? You're like, yeah, okay, that's Daredevil. But this time around, I looked around, I saw a bunch of kids, and they're like, why is all these adults, like, freaking out?
How did you catch that brick?
Yeah.
Because it was an adult show.
It was.
On Mondays. Adult show on Mondays. That's why I picked that day.
Yeah. So,
I was talking about Daredevil.
Yeah.
That was an adult show. That was TVMA.
On Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Bing bong.
There was a lot of nuts on there.
That's going to be your intro to Netflix.
Yeah, bing bong.
But yeah, but basically, it's Peter Parker trying to, like, deal with all this fallout from having a secret identity revealed.
Which is hilarious, because you guys brought up a good point. Tony Stark did the entire MCU phase 1, 2, and 3 with everybody knowing who he was.
I know, and he lived in New York.
He lived everywhere. He was the most celebrity status out there.
So is this, like, money is power? So because Peter Parker didn't have money?
He was poor.
Well, and that's the other thing I think is different when you're a kid too, and like, I guess it's one thing where, like, you're just a guy who just makes a suit, you know, it's still pretty cool. Like, people, like, you know, like, he had his issues, but this one, like, someone has, like, superpowers. And then on top of that, you had the part like, oh, you know, hey, potentially you murder someone. Like, it was such a weird thing, especially right now with, like, the whole, like, like, anytime I see something where, like, they're blaming someone and it's a lie or whatever, you know, I just think of so much COVID shit. And I just wonder how, if, you know, that's how they put that in there.
Dude. Ah. The blip makes so much sense right now. Could you imagine blipping before COVID?
Oh, that'd be nice to come back 5 years and it's all taken care of. Is that what happened?
Maybe Thanos was right.
Oh, man.
Why are we getting into philosophy right now with Thanos?
Well, because he was a purple alien that Peter Parker fought. Okay, so Tony Stark owned it. That's what made him worlds better than Peter Parker, because, like you said, Peter Parker's a kid. He's still going through high school, trying to conceal his identity, except for the people closest to him. But it was a big deal that it was revealed. And then...
Yeah, the secret identity should never be revealed by someone else.
Okay.
By yourself.
The point was... why he wanted to keep it concealed was because he wanted to go to college. That was the point right there. That was that story arc. Okay, I got that. Because him and his friends...
there's multiple things.
Well, his friends couldn't get into college because everybody knew he was Spider-Man, and due to events, like, they couldn't accept him.
From
and they thought they were involved in those events as well.
Correct. Yeah. Well, Ned was.
But they never knew how much they were.
He's the guy in the chair.
A lot of people didn't know that.
That was very funny how he just keeps on talking. Like, that was, yeah, you know,
like, get a lawyer, shut the fuck up, please.
That was more like, this was a really funny film.
It really was.
I was kind of like, I know, like, the other ones, like, had its moments, but, like, this one, like, and, you know, to be honest, like, I think this is my favorite Spider-Man movie
of all time
right now, currently. Yes,
even better than Japanese Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, I haven't watched that. I just saw the trailer, so I can't say one way or the other.
What about Italian Spider-Man?
Again, I only saw the trailer, so I can't really say, but it looks pretty amazing. But this one, like, I mean, I loved it. Like, I was telling Ryan earlier just how, like, especially at the end, I mean, we're not there, but I was just kind of, like, blown away by how well they did this movie.
They struck such a good balance.
Yes.
With everything, like the comedy, the action, yeah, the drama.
And I thought, and they stayed true to the, like, mm-hmm, like, to who, like, Spider-Man is, and then also, like, the struggle with it too. Like, I mean, this movie is a big struggle for, like, Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Like, they do that with, like, explaining, like, all right, everyone knows their identity, the struggle with that, the struggle with, like, having friends that are close to, you know, a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
and then just going through, you know, trying to do the right thing, basically. Like, it's all, like, it was such a big struggle. Like, they did such an amazing job with it.
Everybody told him to do the right thing. He wasn't able to make his own decision.
No, he did, but he was just stupid. He was a dumb kid.
He was about to make his right decision, but Aunt May stepped in. Doctor Strange told him what to do.
So this is the movie. Like, and I didn't think about this before, because all the other Spider-Mans, like the previous Spider movies, not his, not the Marvel ones, not MCU ones,
Sony,
with Sony, but yes, previous Sony ones without Marvel,
previously on Spider-Man.
Yeah, they all had, like, in their origin stories, they had that message of, like, hey, you need to do good. Because, like, with great power comes great responsibility. That was always there. He, Tom Holland
Tomahawk?
Never had that. Yeah, Tomahawk.
So, would you say the MCU Spider-Man is a prequel to the real Spider-Man?
It, kind of, like, to get to, like...
He was introduced in Captain America.
Yeah.
He was in a lot of Avenger movies. He had his own movies, however, they weren't really an origin story. He was just Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it took like almost like 45s. Yeah, 3 45s plus those other ones in the other movies.
So, like, would you say this is his origin story?
Somewhat, to get to the,
and we'll talk about it at the end.
But to get to the point, okay, of like who he is and suffering loss, he didn't really have. I mean, he had that with Iron Man, kind of, with Tony Stark. But he didn't have that, like, until this movie. Like,
he didn't love Tony Stark 3000.
Yeah, yeah. No. But he did Aunt May. Like,
well, I did Aunt May too.
He got blipped, right?
He did.
Okay. Yeah, I fell asleep in Endgame. So.
You blipped.
I blipped myself.
Yeah. But no, like, I really was thinking about this. Like, this is actually when he actually gets to and suffers. Like if... This is where he suffers his loss. Like, this is where he actually has to make the decision of, like, do I continue on with being Spider-Man, you know, or, you know, and lose everything, basically. Like, this is all that part. Like, this is like what all the other Spider-Man movies did as well. Like, to me, this is part of what makes Spider-Man, is he has to actively make these really hard decisions on, like, all right, as much as I want to, like, maybe not be Spider-Man, because it'd be so much easier if I just got to be a normal guy and I can go and have no issues and all my friends would be cool and everything. Like, but no, because he has this power, like, he's like, feels like he's obligated to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it was just, yeah, he finally had to deal with consequences.
Well, not to say he didn't have consequences.
I mean, he
before.
Did in Homecoming. His first girlfriend, her dad was the Vulture. And he had to decide to, if he was going to try and
stop him or not. Like, I mean, every single one, dude, like, he...
That's, I'm sorry, yeah, no, that's not really a big consequence.
Not, it wasn't that bad.
It was Michael Keaton. It was Batman.
It, no, he was the Vulture, no, not Batman.
Dude, that'd be so cool if he had a Batman costume.
Did you hear? Oh, but no, this isn't really a Spider-Man at all, but I do have some news that, like, I guess Michael Keaton's going to be Batman again for the Batgirl movie.
Spider-Man set the stage for multiverses.
Yep, Spider-Man did it. Even though they're already working on Flashpoint, but whatever.
I know. Into the Spider-Verse never did anything like this.
What?
Completely new.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, and Sony did that all by themselves.
All by them. They put their big boy pants
Dude,
on.
Dude, sometimes I'm surprised by what they accomplished.
Yeah, we shit on Sony so much, but Sony actually, I mean, like, they made the video game, and that's the best Spider-Man story I've ever played in my entire life.
It's true. Good job, Sony.
Good job, Sony. Yay!
Now, I will say this movie is actually, it's kind of long, but it doesn't feel like it at all.
No.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours, right?
The pacing was spot on.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people just weren't into it, and they did get bored, but not for me.
Who got bored?
I can't tell you their names.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I mean...
Do you want me to go beat them up?
No. That's why I'm not telling you their names.
Give me their names.
For this movie,
is it Flash?
Flash Thompson? I love all the interactions with all these people. Like, Flash, he's always so funny.
The Disney Marvel side characters threw me off a little bit because Flash Thompson in the comic was this big jock guy. He wasn't some tiny little Indian dude. Ned was kind of this big jock. Like, all Spider-Man's friends were these, like, were they really his friends?
Was Ned in the other movies?
Not in the movies, but in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
But they were supposed to be these, like, high school varsity football player jock kind of people. Even Eddie Brock. But now, like, and MJ was supposed to be this super hot redhead supermodel.
Eddie Brock's thing was that he was a skinny guy, and then because he got sick, he started exercising. That's when he got really big.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Todd McFarlane.
The more you know.
Oh, we need. You have those on your phone.
I do, but oh man, I don't even have to do like any sound bites things, whatever.
Peter's loving this episode.
Yeah, it's just, this is so much to, like, unpack in this movie, though. It's hard to, like, where to go next. That's what I'm having a hard time with. Do we just follow, like, the flow of the movie? Or...
Well, okay, my next subject on this movie is, this is the first time that we really felt that Peter Parker was becoming a leader. And it's before the big reveal, but he was starting to become a leader in, you know, he was standing up to Doctor Strange. Yeah, he fucked up, but he also was like, hey, you know what? That's a business decision that I want to make, and I'm going to stop you. So he stopped a sorcerer.
Math. Which is pretty funny.
Right, right. And this is where you start to really see that Peter Parker is an intelligent person. I didn't see that in the other ones.
Oh, no. Dude, he always had that, man. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like for at least, like best Spider-Mans, like, I just feel like they nailed it. Like, they made Tom Holland Spider-Man, like, just such a nerdy guy and, like, pretty intelligent. But also, with that nerdiness, is loving, like, sci-fi movies and stuff like that. Adding these little things. And then you kind of get to see that with the other Spider-Mans, but I just feel like they've done it so much better. He portrays it so well. Like, I really do think, like, this is the best Spider-Man that we've had so far.
Okay, on the spot.
Uh-huh.
What? How?
Yes, why? Yeah, Maximus.
I have so many questions!
We've had three different Spider-Man movies. Two trilogies and one...
Twofer.
Twofers. Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and
Tom Holland.
Who's your favorite one?
Tom Holland? Yep.
Yeah. Mine too.
Yeah.
I think he encompasses both, like, a great Peter Parker and also a great Spider-Man. Like, and he's so, like, nice, and he just reminds me of, like, what Spider-Man is. It's just kind of like, oh, so sorry, you know. And he's also gets very emotional, like, with the stuff. Like, he's done a great job with the character, and it's like, I mean, a slightly different version, I would say. Like, it's not like full on accurate, but I feel he has the heart for it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I love him,
and I gotta say, Tobey Maguire is also good as well.
I mean, I think they're all good. I agree with you guys with Tom Holland. He encompasses everything about movie and TV show and comic book at a very young aged Peter Parker. Like, he's supposed to be a teenager. You know, Andrew Garfield, him as Spider-Man, I think is a better Spider-Man because his mannerisms, his quips, his comebacks, you know, the way that he shoots his web, the way that he defeats villains, and he's kind of snarky. That's a Spider-Man all in his own world, but that Spider-Man doesn't relate with a Peter Parker. When Peter Parker is Peter Parker, he's very studious, he's very natural, and he's not like this kind of cocky kind of dude, where Andrew Garfield carries that character throughout Peter Parker. Tobey Maguire, I think Tobey Maguire was a good Peter Parker, but I also think he was very flat. And I think he was very, his story was driven by lessons and lessons learned and becoming a hero and becoming someone who he's not, where Tom Holland has a good blend of, like, dude, I'm a kid, I have friends, I have this life and I have this other life and I need to balance this, but I could be funny, I could be quick, and I can be a hero. And, you know, Sony and Marvel have agreed to do another trilogy.
Yeah.
So we now have the college version of that coming. You know, we now have Tom Holland as a college Peter Parker, grown up a little bit more. And I think we're going to get a whole nother character with him. And I think that since Disney and Marvel picked him up at such a young age, he was a perfect choice to grow into the role of Peter Parker in Spider-Man. The other two were just kind of thrown into it at different periods in their life, if that makes sense.
Well, I think they were all based in high school.
They all started there. Like, yeah. We got bit, and then they jumped out really quick. Yeah.
So it's like this one, it feels a little bit more natural with the progression.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? Like, and I think both like Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland, like, I think what they got really, like what they got down was the awkwardness. They had the awkwardness really down where I don't think I never saw that with Andrew Garfield.
He was never awkward.
No, he was kind of like the cool kid, you know, the skateboarder.
That's what I mean.
Like,
that was never Peter Parker. He was never cool.
Yeah. And that's what, and I get that's why I think maybe that's why you're saying with the Spider-Man part, that's what made him maybe a better one. Because, yeah, he has, like, that's another thing with Spider-Man. He kind of, like, turned into a different persona when he put it on the mask. Like, he would get cocky.
Yeah. And I like my cocky Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think he's fun, but I think Tom Holland does that, has a nice balance of that in his suit.
Yeah, I think just the whole, like, of awe, like, that's what I like about him so much. I mean, do we just... Well, okay, we talked about Doctor Strange. Like, I liked how they handled Doctor Strange. I didn't feel like he was, like, overpowering in this film and how they kind of got rid of him with, like, the whole, like, we alluded to, like, he fought Doctor Strange and won and, like, through math, which was... It was great, but he goes into the mirror dimension and, like, it shows how good and how smart he is, where... Like other Spider-Mans, like, yes, they do kind of went that way with Andrew Garfield. Like, oh, yeah, he made his web shooters, you know? Mm-hmm. They showed, like, oh, yeah, he's kind of a scientist, even though like, he's a really cool skateboarder and everything. Like, that was, like, part of the reason why I didn't
cool
like...
Cool people can be scientists, too, Peter.
It's true, but it just felt like...
You're hurting Tony Hawk's feelings right now.
I get... And, again...
And he's still alive.
With Andrew Garfield's, like, Spider-Man, like, I just never felt like that was him, you know? Mm-hmm. I never got that, and that's why I had issues with those movies. This one, like, again, I'm totally on board, especially because it hits the whole, how smart he is. And he does it on all the time. And like through all the different movies, he's always like figuring out like kind of like how to like, hey, like the way his mind thinks, I think is how it's so amusing to me and how they portray it in these films. But yeah, he stops Doctor Strange. I like how they's pretty much now they wrote out Doctor Strange for a good portion of the film, which was set up so many cool things like why he was gone. It was nice how they did that. They really executed that very well, because it could have been totally where I felt like with Captain Marvel, you know, Nick Fury, it was almost like, no, this really isn't a movie about Captain Marvel, it's about Nick Fury. Like it was almost, it was too much, you know. This one, they didn't do that. This is still Spider-Man. Doctor Strange is just there,
yeah. And they even address Nick Fury in this one. They're like, no, he's been off Earth for about a year and a half.
Yeah,
which made sense with the last time we saw him, it was a Skrull.
He was a Skrull all throughout the second Spider-Man,
right?
Movie. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So we didn't really see
cool.
Nick Fury. Did you not see the second one?
I have. I just don't remember all this shit.
Yeah, it wasn't like meh, whatever. It was just one of those gimmick things. I gotta say, man, we should just do another movie on the second Spider-Man movie, and I'll just tell you how much I hated that. Like I just felt like that was such a everything this movie did. Like we talked about how well they wrote this and it's all portrayed. I felt they did the exact opposite in that one. That one was such like I felt like it felt like a rushed job to me. And it was just so ridiculous. Like, they didn't really know what to do. Like, and that was conclude right after Endgame, where, like, they should not have done that. It was just ridiculous. Like, they're like, all right, how do we handle Tony Stark's gone? You know, like, what happens to Spider-Man now? Like, it was just such a... Like, that was the real ending to Phase 4, and it was such a terrible ending for me. Like, it just... so disappointing. I hate that one. I hate it. But this one fixed it.
Let your rage go throughout the podcast waves.
Oh.
So I was kind of concerned how they brought in Doctor Strange, but it made sense because this was, okay, Peter Parker's identity is revealed. They were not accepted into college, into MIT, anything they applied for. So instead of trying to plead his case, he decided to go to Doctor Strange and be like, hey, can everybody forget what happened or who I am? And he's like, oh yeah, sure, that sounds like a great idea. And Wong was like, no, you shall not do that, K-bye. And that's what I got it from Wong. And then he runs away. But then they cast a spell during this time. Peter Parker's like, oh yeah, hey, maybe Mary Jane, or what's her name? Zendaya should remember who I am. Maybe my Aunt May should. Maybe this should happen. So it messes up the spell. So this is an entire point of the movie. Thus, what happens is villains from other Spider-Verse movies come about. And this is talking about Sam Raimi and Mark Webb. And you don't know that until he kind of leaves. And we start seeing Dr. Octopus as the first one, right? Mm-hmm. And this is revealed in the first trailer.
Yeah.
And it's Alfred
Molina.
Yeah.
As Dr. Octopus looking for Tobey Maguire, Peter Parker.
Now, one thing I want to say really quick is I think that actually, like him going to Doctor Strange for that quick fix, is actually one of the greatest devices to emphasize like how much growing he has done and what he can do.
Who? Peter Parker or Doctor Strange?
Yes, Peter Parker.
Well, he understands.
Because he's like, hey, I want magic to fix this. And then, no, you actually have to do it for yourself. Don't just rely on magic. That arc.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay. Yeah, we're like, but it also just shows how young and kind of dumb he is still. Like, this is a real growing, you know, coming of age story. I guess that's what you're kind of getting at, is that.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm getting
at. Yeah, he learns so much and grows so much, and that's what I'm talking about. It's those hard decisions that he has to make now. Like, he can't be the kid anymore. And that's what you get at the end of this movie. It's like, he had to make some really hard choices by the end of it to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to college. Like, it's. I loved how they ended this one, and it sets up the next trilogy in a great way.
Oh, definitely.
Is he going to college?
We don't know.
I think he's going to be working in the Daily Bugle. J. Jonah Jameson's going to be his boss. Ted Raimi's going to make an appearance.
Okay. So
Bruce Campbell.
You guys are getting way ahead.
It's all back to like, this is like, he has to go through that. He's going through these growing changes, and that's all relevant. And like, but it's all based off of him doing dumb kid things that puts all this into motion because he wants too many things. Like, he has to learn. Like, he's, again, like, he hasn't had to have sacrifice until now.
Until now, yeah. So his sacrifice right now, he attempted to with Doctor Strange's magic, and he fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has to go find these villains that are scattered across New York.
And I gotta say, I was very happy with the choice of villains.
Dude, we almost had the Sinister Six without the Sinister Six.
Dude, like, it's just, you know what
we needed just the Vulture.
What I got from this was just how much cooler the Sam Raimi villains were compared to the Amazing Spider-Man ones, like Mark Webb.
Yeah,
like, and like, they had to fix Electro, basically. Like,
mm-hmm.
He comes back, you kind of see him like in his blue form, and then all of a sudden, like, he changes back to Jamie Foxx. He's like, huh, this world just made me normal again. Yeah. Cool.
Suddenly, I'm attractive.
Yeah.
I don't have a comb over and bad teeth.
I'm just
Jamie Foxx.
And it's great how they, like, you know, like, at first it was like, well, that's kind of dumb. But then at the same time, how they kind of make fun of it. Like, we don't know why, but who cares?
It was a fun little nod to the audience.
Yeah.
It's like yes, we know this, but just shut up.
And
enjoy.
They,
and I'm like, yes, thank you.
Almost did this. Like, it would have been, like, the one thing I wish, like, if somehow Topher Grace came in with, like, Venom Man, and if they, because in my opinion, in this movie, they fix some of the issues with the older movies. They like to me they fixed it. They also gave full like story arcs, and you know, kind of gave them some closure on some of these other movies too, which I really liked as well.
Mm-hmm. Like Sandman.
Sandman. So Sandman's the only one that's like was confusing me, and I feel like maybe they did the worst job on, in my opinion,
because he was Uncle Ben's killer, right?
That's what they started doing in the third film in the Sam Raimi trilogy, where you find out that he's the one that actually shot, but he's actually kind of like a good guy. Like he was just mixed up in some bad shit.
But so, he's in this one. But the arc was that these villains came back because Spider-Man kills them off.
All of them died, but then I was just reading, I guess apparently the Lizard didn't die. I thought he did at the end of The Amazing Spider-Man. But
see, that's the great thing about pulling stuff from like so long ago. I don't remember.
Well, good point.
And at the same time, I don't think it really matters, to be honest. Like that was just something, that was a good device though, mm-hmm. to scare those characters. Like, no, I don't want to go back to my real world.
Because they almost died.
Yeah. I don't want to die.
And it humanized them too.
Okay.
So it actually put them in a different light completely.
Yeah.
Would you guys say that this movie alone characterized the villains better in their presence in this movie than their individual films?
No.
Not all of them.
I would think so. Which ones do you think were better in their own movie?
Oh, Green Goblin?
Yeah, Green Goblin and
Dr.
Fuck
no, dude. He was so good in this one.
Oh, he was amazing in this one, but he was better. His story was established much better in the first one.
But all
in his original movie.
Again, all these things, though, that's what I'm saying. Like, those two villains from Sam Raimi's, like, the first two Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire, like they did a really great job with fleshing out those characters. And they expanded on those. And you kind of, like, in this one, you get to see, like, all right, Dr. Octopus, he's like, and you kind of got in the second Spider-Man movie anyways, is that like he was troubled. He was trying to do something to save, like get his wife back. Right. Or what was that?
I think that's Mr. Freeze. I think you're going to Batman.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We don't talk about DC movies in our Spider-Man review.
Yes, we do. There's going to be a crossover. There's going to be a Batman.
But basically he went insane. And this one showed that like,
Doc Ock.
Yeah. That was his whole point. Like that's why he became a villain, because he had an accident. Basically, the machine started taking over, and that's what they fixed him. They cured him of it, and he's like, holy shit. Like,
it was all simultaneously. Like, his machine, the sun collector, whatever it was, exploded. The glass killed his wife, and
his wife, so he was all jaded.
And the chip exploded at the same time, so his arms control him.
Yeah, so, like, all that combined, and then that's how you get a supervillain. It's the same thing. William Dafoe.
The root of all problems in comic book world is women.
And this is what I love about this film is because they joke about so much of this. Like there's a point where like they're talking about like Jamie Foxx is like, oh, how did you get your superpowers? Oh, you know, I fell in a vat of there was electrical eels that were experimenting. He's like, oh yeah, you gotta watch where you fall because that was the
spatial
same thing.
Collider.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I got my sand powers from a spatial collider.
Dude, Jamie Foxx was. I think he was my favorite villain in this one. Well, okay, Green Goblin was my favorite.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. All of them did an amazing job. Like mm-hmm. every single one. Like besides like, maybe like the Lizard, he hardly had a point. Like he was just there, and they joked and had fun with him, which that was kind of cool.
The dinosaur can talk.
Yeah, but like he almost has the exact same ending that he did in The Amazing Spider-Man from this movie, in my opinion.
Dude, Dr. Connors was kind of a lame character anyway.
Oh yeah, dude, and that's what you're seeing. A lot of the villains they had in The Amazing Spider-Man were lame villains, and they were kind of lame in this one.
You know what I just realized?
They fixed Electro. They fixed Jamie Foxx's character.
This movie doesn't have its own villain.
The one that was pretty much the most villainous was Green Goblin.
But that was Sam Raimi.
They did have a villain.
Well, exactly.
I mean, the most we got was Mysterio. We never saw Vulture.
No. Like, so you're saying because they didn't have a new villain. That's what you're talking about?
Or one in this universe.
The villain was Childish Things.
Yeah, well, if anything, you could almost say that, you know.
Oh, it was a tree. It was a tree, wasn't it?
See, it was the mastermind.
Ask if the tree is a mutant or something, or a monster.
It's just a tree.
No, in a sense, like, I almost feel like Spider-Man was his own worst enemy. Like, it was him, in a sense.
Oh, man. Man, that's deep.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, dude, like, but I'm glad they didn't do it. Like, they had so much here, and, like, they, again, they did an amazing job. And I, from this, I realized just how well Sam Raimi did his movies when he was really in control. Like, that's, like, William Dafoe, like, stole this, and also Dr. Octopus stole the show in this film. Like, I'm not, again, Jamie Foxx did a great job, too, but...
He was, like, a third tier villain. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I go back to the Sandman, though, which I know is Sam Raimi's. He was the only one that was weird that I thought wasn't quite fleshed out, because he starts off like... Because
he was Sam.
Yeah. he
was like a good guy.
Yes, he's kind of good, but kind of bad, because he starts off like helping Spider-Man defeat Electro, and then he goes and like then turns into be part of the Sinister Five. Like really? Because all... I didn't fully understand his full story arc, and I didn't like it so much. Like, it didn't quite add up to me.
I didn't like it in Sam Raimi's movie as well.
Yeah, it was kind of, yes. And that was, again, he didn't want to do that. Like, I don't blame that third film on Sam Raimi at all. It's not his fault.
Now, this movie made me kind of think of, like, why I'm nervous about the multiverse.
Why? It's the first one.
Exactly. But it shows me, like, how easy that, like, they can just explain away stuff.
That's the point of it. That's...
I know, and that's the hard part. They're like, oh, yeah, that's this.
Green, orange.
I hear what you're saying, and I feel similar, because like, I was worried about this film. And
I
maybe
know
that's,
you didn't like it.
And maybe that's why I really enjoyed it, is because they blew me away, because I had such low expectations. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be really come down to, like, I want to see what they happen in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, because...
The one thing I loved is, like, I have never seen Doctor Strange. I tried, I fell asleep, never wanted to finish it.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's a good one, dude.
Like, but they explained, like, the mirror dimension and all that stuff really quick.
Yeah, there's
not
much to
it. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. But then it just seems like certain things weren't fleshed out enough.
In Spider-Man? In this movie? Like what?
So right now I can't think of anything because Ryan asked for a beer and it distracted me and my brain went away. Woo!
It was not a beer. It's a cran orange sparkler.
You know what? Stop with the seltzers.
Here's the other thing too. Is that
they're there.
It's fucking magic, and I understand like magic is confusing, and it's...
Just wait till time travel comes in.
It's the same thing with like it's like time travel and multiverse and magic is like, it's almost like nothing really matters because I'll just do a spell or I'll do time travel and fix everything.
Like, well, it gives them like too many loopholes.
Yeah, it's very
easy to jump through, and that's why I don't like
it.
It's such a lazy plot device, which can be good, but I don't want it to be abused. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'll say, because this one had a clear story arc. Doctor Strange, I thought, had a great story arc. Like, I mean, all these ones that you're talking about, like, so far, I don't think they abused it yet.
No, they haven't yet.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm like, I hope they keep on going down that road, and they actually show like just how, you know, how it could lead to, especially in this movie, how it can lead to bad things. And I think that's going to be all the effects of Doctor Strange, which we're going to see what happens there.
Their introduction of the villains, and then, okay, I think we're at that point. Peter Parker, Tom Holland has a hard time. Goblin... Oh, shit. Never mind. We're not there yet.
There's so much to go through.
So let's kind of speed through this point here. So
yeah, we need
he tries to
up.
Cure them. He tries to cure the villains. So he intercepts Doctor Strange's attempts to send them back to their universe to decide their fate. So
yeah,
he can cure
much,
them.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, hey, either I can send you back, you all die, or I can cure you and we can try to fix this. And so they all chose to go that route.
In doing so, Willem Dafoe, Green Goblin is Green Goblin and fucks everything up. So he's the one who basically plays Peter Parker and Aunt May and plays victim. And then as it comes, Peter's tingle comes about and he tries to intercept him. Then Electro,
I gotta admit, they've done a really good job with the spider senses, and that was probably one of the best times that I saw it. Where like
right.
He has to tune in, and he was so like,
I don't know what's going on.
Yes,
but
who is the person? And he finally figures it out. Like,
I just like it how they're describing it as the tingle.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
All of them.
It's just the tingle.
Yeah. All of them. What's your tingle doing? He's like, I don't know. You know?
Trust
like,
your tingle.
Trust your tingle. This was the best representation of his Spidey sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they did a great job.
He was able to decipher. He was in a room full of bad guys, not knowing what he was doing, and it was able to find the Green Goblin. And this is where Willem Dafoe became the best villain across all Spider-Verses. He was the best in Raimi's, he was the best in Amazing, and he was the best in this one. And he wasn't even in Amazing Spider-Man. He was still the best.
Yes.
He fucking had all the villains turn back to evil, go rampage through the city, and then decided and like just annihilated Spider-Man. He beat his ass. He like beat him through levels of this apartment complex. He was body slamming him through floors.
Mm-hmm. That was a really cool fight scene, too.
That was one of the best fight scenes I've seen in a long time, dude. Like, Tom Holland was throwing punches.
Uh-huh.
Willem Dafoe was taking them and laughing in his face. I don't know why he was never the Joker.
Well, oh, dude, what he did, like... So, okay, we're talking about this. Yeah, this is very important because this is... During this fight, there's so much going on. This is like the true, like, all right, Aunt May is like, hey, you know, you need to help people. That's who you are. Never give up on people. Like, that's Aunt May's thing. And, like, you also see that just subtly. Like, we all know, like, probably from playing the video games and the comics maybe, is that she does Feast, right? She helps, like, the homeless people and everything. And so that's happening in this film. It kind of happened in the second one, too, right? Where, like, there's a Feast thing that Spider-Man came to help build money. Evan probably blipped on that.
No, I'm just noticing how distracted you are by the TV.
It's very distracting.
You know what's funny? You've been watching Spider-Man Woman this whole time. I'm going to shut it off.
I just look
it
up.
Should.
When moving objects are going on, I stare at them.
You like a female Spider-Man?
Sure.
Apparently, one of her powers is seduction, so she's seducing you.
Yeah.
And you like cartoon characters.
Okay, back to Feast.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I believe
so
it was in the
second
film.
It shows just, like, her Aunt May's, like, hey, don't give up on people. Do not, like, always help them. That's her whole thing. And that was a whole message to this where, like, he has that, you know? Like, he wants to do right by everyone. But this is, like, the first time where, like, you know, he's like, well, no, that was kind of an easy solution. Let's just send them back, and they're like, no, that's not you. Like, that is not you. Like, he was really struggling with his identity in this movie. And Aunt May is like his, you know, his conscience basically. And so this part, they're all fighting. He's telling Aunt May to run because she was in a really bad situation and he was concerned about that. And, you know, true to her form, you know, Green Garden's beat the shit out of Spider-Man, and she still wants to help, and she tries to help even though she has no superpowers, nothing like that. And in the process, which was again basically what they took from the first Spider-Man, Sam Raimi, where like he takes the glider and tries to kill Spider-Man from behind, but she doesn't have a tingle, and so she gets hit in the back and she dies. But right before that, she goes and tells him, like, hey, with great power comes great responsibility.
She said the thing.
Yes. Finally got the message to him. So, again, like, this is, like, the
origin story of Spider-Man.
Yeah, for him, for this MCU one. And I gotta say, I thought...
Did you shed a tear?
I was emotional.
And
I'll be honest.
Did you cry, Evan?
No.
I don't think...
I saw it coming a mile away.
Well, like... I was shocked because I was just like, no, they can't kill off Aunt May.
They can't kill off Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, she's doing such a great job.
Don't worry, the multiverse, she'll come back.
That's true.
Hey, I'm Aunt May too.
And I hope they don't do that. Like, I know what you're saying. Like,
oh, of
I understand,
course, I
like,
know.
There is so many.
They should bring back Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Like, well, and that was the other part. Like, you know, I was thinking about that. I was like, there's no Uncle Ben in this. Like, there is
Never was.
Yeah.
Or parents. It's always been Aunt May.
And but it was so
she's the Uncle Ben.
It was so emotional, and then they cut from that to find out like there's more Peter Parkers in the world because Ned starts doing magic, which was pretty funny and entertaining.
It was,
but and then also just bring in the Spider-Man, and this is the part this is the part where I was like, oh, great. Like, this is what I was worrying about. And I will say
the
this
introduction?
Is, yeah, of okay. these, of Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, and Andrew Garfield. And Andrew Garfield first comes through, like, Ned says, I want to see Peter Parker. Does open up a portal. You get Andrew Garfield, which, hilarious scene.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, this whole part, this whole scene is just hilarious. We're like, prove that you're Spider-Man. He's like, I'm hanging from the wall. Crawl on the wall. No, I think this is enough. It was hilarious. Like, did such a great job.
Yes.
And then Ned's grandma, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Hilarious. So. Just like,
I think that was the breaking point of it. You know, is like, okay, you had the two side characters off in the distance, and what was going to break up the tension? The mom, the grandma.
Yeah, but then they brought right back because,
this is John Watts being such a great director.
Yeah. So you just
John
had
Watts
this
from
very
emotional.
Yeah. Okay. So you just had this very emotional scene. And is this the right order?
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut to that. They ease you in, you know, you start making you laugh. And then they go, like, after they get all the Spider-Mans back together. And then you have another emotional scene because they have to go through, like, how do we work through this grief? And, mm-hmm. and what he feels like, he wants to, like, kill the Green Goblin. You know, he wants to go to the dark side of everything. This is like a Star Wars movie. And then, you know, it's very relevant because he has the Emperor, you know, like Death Star he broke. but like, this is a part where it's like you're faced with all these things, and like you had the mentor part with the Spider-Man. It's like helping him through this grief, which was so great. And then the movie just, like, it hit its moment and got so much better. Like, and like, also, it was kind of weird, like all of them, like all these fighting all these villains and everything, but just having all three Spider-Mans together was amazing to see.
I gotta say, during that sequence, I didn't know who was who, and I really didn't care.
When they're flying around, but I'm talking about without the masks on, and they're just interacting, all three of them together.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yes.
But with the masks on, I'm like, who are you?
Yeah, like, you kind of got lost. Like, yes, there's differences in the suits, but overall, it's like, yeah, it was like, whatever. It didn't really matter.
That's CGI for you.
But like, when they were, like, engaged in communicating and talking, like, that, all those parts, when all three of them are together,
mm-hmm.
I had a smile on my face, and I had no idea that I wanted to see that so bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they hit such a balance, and they actually gave, like, respect to each actor, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, it's like, and what they did in their respected films.
Yes, exactly.
And then they also poked fun at themselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they just did such a... They tied it all so well together, and this is the part I thought they were going to fail extremely badly, and they did not. They did it extremely well, Lee.
Well, Lee.
Yeah. I wanted to match. Oh.
It's
cool. I'm just...
It's such a good movie.
It was satisfying.
Like, it really was.
I did not think I needed that, and they gave me something that I did not think I needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see in every single movie, is something... Give me something I wasn't expecting or something that I didn't think was going to work, and you make it work, and like, I'm gonna be satisfied every single time.
Did you not expect
it was a happy ending?
The other two to show up?
No, I kind of always figured they were, but I didn't know to what extent.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that was a much bigger finale than I expected.
And their
with
introduction
them.
Was on point. How they did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how people wouldn't figure out that they were coming because Doc Ock.
Right.
But yeah, it's. They had such a larger role than...
But the way they brought him in and the way that they...
Oh, so that wasn't him. Really so, that impressive.
What?
I mean, he waved his hand in a circle. He's like, oh he appeared. That really wasn't the best intro.
I thought it was a good
but
way.
But it was good.
Here's my thing that I did not like. Again, between Sandman and I think this point is that you had two Spider-Mans in this universe... And they couldn't make a scene. They couldn't find these others, the Tom Holland Spider-Man. Like, I kind of had an issue. I know there was a lot going on, but they kind of just like, yeah, ever since I've been in this new world, like, I've just been trying to, like, find them. But I don't know, I couldn't.
Were you just walking around? Yeah, like, hey, yeah, no, I went to go get lunch.
Well, that's, you had one.
Kind of a good point. Like,
you had Andrew Garfield in his Spider-Man
suit.
And
yeah.
He was just in an alley. Like he was like stuck in the alley. He's like, I don't know how to get out of this alley.
Oh, this is my home now.
Yeah. And also, like, okay, you're in a world where everyone knows who Spider-Man is, and they didn't talk about, like, yeah, people were chasing me around. Like, they didn't explain, like, any of that shit. Like, to me, that was odd. Like, Tobey Maguire, at least he was in, like, street clothes. I'm like...
He was a cool youth pastor.
Yeah. That was hilarious. He did look like one, too. But, like, him just kind of, like... You know, like, again, I was trying to look for him, but... You know, I didn't... You know, all those fight scenes, I don't know how to get to them.
Well, I just love that mentality. Hey, a portal. I'm going to walk through this.
Yeah.
Would you not?
I don't think I would. I'd look. I'm like, hi.
Again, but that was another great thing. That's why Tobey Maguire was such a great Spider-Man, just like Tom Holland, with the whole, like, he's easily, like, amused by these things. Like, that is so cool. Oh, it's gone. like that part, that's why he was a great Peter Parker. Like, that mentality. And he still... All three of them, like, nailed it. And, like, again, how they're all... I love the part when they're, like, saying, like, Andrew Garfield's feeling really bad. Like, man, I didn't fight anyone, like, aliens or anything. He's like,
you are amazing.
Yes. You're amazing.
You're the amazing. I was hoping him to be like, you're the amazing Spider-Man. Because yeah. He was. That was his movie title.
I know. Well, that's a joke.
And, yes.
See, I like the fact that they let me figure that part out because then I felt super smart.
The other one was
thank you, director.
The other one was back to the beginning where he was fighting Doc Ock. That's the superior Spider-Man. Just so you guys know, that was a little Easter egg. Because when he controlled the arms with the nano suit,
oh yeah,
he became more of a superior Spider-Man because Dr. Octopus was Spider-Man for a little bit. That's a little nod. So
yeah, to the comic, are you sure? That was a great joke when he takes out his little claws or whatever from the Spider-Man suit, and he's like, "Oh man, we got competition." Doc Ock says that.
And I love how it's like new accessory. Would you like to sync or whatever it was?
Would you like to connect?
Yeah,
yeah.
And
new device found.
Yeah, new device found. Connect, and it was like, okay, Bluetooth.
How corny that was! Is like. That was interesting because I also like, well, why the nanobots just go and connect into Doc Ock?
That was kind of weird. Like, why wouldn't they do that for all technology?
Yeah, what? Yeah, anything.
And that's the first time I ever saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was just kind of an odd thing, but you know, whatever. I'll let those little things. I mean, overall, like all these things I'm complaining about, I let all of them slide. I did not really care. Like it wasn't enough. Like there's so much good in this film that all these little things. I'm like, that's just nitpicking. Like. This is a really solid film, and it's just fun. So,
the final scene, the battle, it was set up. It was good to have Tom Holland basically, hey, this is who I am. This is what I was doing. This is my attempt with J. Jonah Jameson. Clear his name. And where are you, Spider-Man? This is exactly where I'm at. The villains showed up. And that final scene where they were providing the cures in the battle, it was another progression of, like, growth between all the Spider-Mans. They didn't know how to work together. The only one who did was Tom Holland because he was part of a boy band.
And this is that whole leadership thing. Yeah. I totally got that point from this. It's like, oh, like you can see because I have always heard like he's supposed to be like kind of like the next leader of the Avengers, kind of.
Right.
I totally see that because this is his intro to that, like leading a team.
And the other ones never had any other superheroes in their world.
I love that. Yeah, I worked with the Avengers. Oh, yeah, I love Tommy McGuire's expression. Oh, that's great. Who's that?
What is that?
He's like, you know, Earth's mind is like, I don't know how this is relevant. Like, all right, Chester Tinkle, let's go. Like, it was kind of a really, you know, small pep talk, but it was still just enough that it was amusing enough that I was like, okay, you see how he's growing and he's going to become into a leader in these future, like, Avenger movies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. They described a good way to beat the villains one by one, and I love how that happened throughout the battle scene. And then, of course, the big villain was Green Goblin, and how they were to cure his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it took all Spider-Mans until this is the big part, this is a big reveal, that basically if Doctor Strange doesn't cast a spell where everybody forgets that Peter Parker exists, then the multiverse would explode into New York City and it would be a big mess.
and they can't control the multiverse.
Yeah, the spell finally got out
because
of Green Goblin, because he's, dude, and you were talking about the Joker. I totally got those vibes throughout this film. Like, this guy is the equivalent to the Joker for Spider-Man. Like, he was so evil in this film. And it, again, that's what escalated this. Like, there was nothing that he would not do. And then the very end where, like, you have Spider-Man beating down the Green Goblin, which, I mean, I knew how it was going to, like, I knew he wasn't going to kill him, and I knew, like, Toby was going to stop him. But then when Toby gets stabbed in the back, he's like, and I just love how he's like, Andrew Garfield's like, you've been stabbed before, huh? He's like, yeah. Like, I'm used to this.
You're
like,
in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Like, I just love how they just played, again, they played this stuff off. Like, it was just, you know, that was like, it's that movie kind of magic. Like, they were like showing, like, yeah, those are kind of the silly things that happen in those other movies. And it stays true to who these people are in this movie.
Finally brought us to the point where comic book movies relate with comic books, because comic books are at a point where there's so many different multiverses, universes, different story arcs. The capability to have a different story going on at the same time. And this is what I love, what Marvel and the MCU is finally doing. They're allowing Sony to say, hey, you know what? Carry on with Into the Spider-Verse, you know? Because that is the first multiverse story that we've heard Sony introduce that. It's not a competition anymore. It's basically a correlation. They are working together to build these great stories. And
now that I think Sony has figured that out, like, yeah, we really need them to help tell these great stories.
We can have dual Venom stories. We can have Morbius in and out of MCU. We can have the Sinister Six build up and then come and fight Green Peter Parker. And that's the best part about this new Spider-Man series is he's Spider-Man. He knows he's Spider-Man. Nobody else does. He can do the Daily Bugle. He can live his New York life. He could go to college. He can find his new friends. We can be introduced to a Gwen Stacy, a Felicia, Black Cat. We can have, and you know, all these people don't know who Spider-Man is. They don't know who Peter Parker is. They know Spider-Man, and he can unveil himself all over again.
They gave him like a fresh start without like forgetting everything else. You know, it wasn't like time travel. It was like, all right, he gets to start off, and now you get a whole new Spider-Man.
And
like,
beyond Spider-Man, the MCU opened up the doors to bring back Captain America. They can bring back Tony Stark. They can bring...
But this is the part where I'm with Evan. We're like, don't do that. And I think they're smart enough where they're not. I think they have their... They are keeping track with like the whole, like, hey, this is our main timeline. Yes, we're doing all these branches and everything, but this is still our main one, and we're going to focus on these characters. And I can see them maybe doing some cameos here and there, but I feel like those individuals, they're done. They're not coming back. And I hope they do that, because then I'm back with Evan like, well, fuck, you just ruined it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, why did you make Endgame then?
Yeah, exactly. Like you retroactively like made all your other movies suck, kind of.
Yes, exactly. And that's the dangerous game they're playing.
Yeah, so the multiverse can be dangerous because it does negate everything that they did. Yeah.
It's almost like we're in madness.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. For this movie, though, that's what I was afraid of. And the fact that they executed it so well, I have very high hopes now for future movies with this whole multiverse.
We can see an Andrew Garfield universe. We can see a Sony Spider-Man universe with Venom.
Could you imagine like them like picking up and being like, all right, let's do an Andrew Garfield movie that's standalone, not connected to the MCU at all, but continue on with that story. You said yourself, like, you know, like this brought a lot of like back, like, oh man, Andrew Garfield is so great as Spider-Man. Like, I see where that could potentially happen. Like, it could be like kind of like what DC is doing with, they have like the Joker movies and like all these movies that aren't really like in the DCEU. It's just DC movies, you know?
I do.
True story.
So, you said they're kind of doing it with Morbius and Venom, you know? They kind of have their own little separate universe. Like, they could totally do that.
End scene, Venom was drunk in Mexico in the MCU universe.
Well, okay, so...
And he left a little symbiote there. His goal was to meet Peter Parker,
So he's going to go back to his universe and find his Peter Parker.
Oh, that could, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And we'll have a new Eddie Brock.
In
MCU.
Yeah, in this
because
one.
Because there's a little bit Topher? Of alien. Yeah.
Topher could still be it. No, he's in the Sam Raimi one.
I'm fine with that.
But everything's happening for a reason, and it's kind of cool. I like that they can literally bring Tom Hardy from that universe at any time, or they could keep him there. We can have a different Eddie Brock. They could fight each other. We can have endless possibilities of what's going on in the MCU, and we can have Sony. We can have, I mean, Universal.
So speaking about like Venom, like I gotta say, like they did that so well.
Yeah,
I thought I was like, oh man, how is this gonna all fit in? You know, how is Venom gonna fit in? Because like at the end of that, you haven't seen that one.
Wow.
Venom, Let There Be Carnage. It doesn't matter.
But it does.
Not.
It does.
He survives. What? Yeah. So
how dare you, sir?
How they handle that? Now he's the mid-credit scene in this Spider-Man Nowhere Home, No Way Home, and. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna go meet this Spider-Man. And then I just love how he's learning about everything. Like, yeah, someone blipped us for 5 years. They're superheroes. He's like, huh? Like, what?
And there's a Hulk. And what would Venom say? Something, E Without Defender was a stupid name. Or
oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. The Lethal Protector was lethal a stupid name. Yeah. I loved how they did that. And then he's like, fine, like I'm going to go meet him, like what everyone wanted to see. And then he gets sent back, which it was just such a great way to like have him in that world and then take him right out, but then leave that Venom behind, a little bit of symbiote, which, I mean, again, nitpicking, stupid magic. Why would this little piece get left behind? Like, I mean, everyone else is getting sent back. Like, I would assume, like, everything that's related to them is getting sent back. It's fucking magic. But no, a little bit of symbiote gets left. It's just someone that's like...
Really?
Because the symbiote...
Really?
I'm saying I'm nitpicking, but that was one of the things.
The symbiote is its own entity. It didn't know who Peter Parker was.
It still got sent with him. It's a part of Eddie.
No, it's not.
No, a part of it fell off.
Either way, did both of them know?
Symbiotic relationship. What's the definition of symbiote?
Ooh.
Yes, monkey.
He doesn't, none of them know who Peter Parker is. So why would he even be there?
He saw him on TV.
After he got sent there.
No.
Yes.
Shit, yeah.
There's no reason for him to be there. Oh man, I just fucked the I hate this movie
now. No. That's why the symbiote can stay. Because that part knows what Peter Parker is.
But why would the magic spell? The magic spell is only bringing in people that knew Peter Parker. This guy has no, does not know who this is at all, and he gets sent over to
what's
the universe.
What's your proof?
Do you
seriously need Tom Hardy to be like, oh, hey, oh, that's Peter Parker? Like, could he just said like, hey, he saw it in a news article or something? He read it in paper?
It just doesn't, well, like, okay. All right, hang on.
Maybe he is Topher Grace.
Hang on. Okay. I might have the solution here.
Save yourself from yourself.
Well, I'm just saying the same thing is that the other Spider-Man, the other Peter Parkers, they had no idea about the other Spider-Man. So why were they connected? Why were they brought in as well?
Because they were Peter Parker.
So yeah, well, and at one point the symbiote was connected to a Peter Parker. So
same.
Oh, so
yep.
Maybe.
So the symbiote knew Peter Parker, and
no,
he
I
just
don't...
pulled Eddie with him.
But they,
the symbiote knew what a Peter Parker was and a Spider-Man.
Oh,
maybe.
God, this is going to be another hour-long conversation.
It could be. This could go on very long. But again, this is another one that, like, there was some instances that's not very fleshed out. But again, you overlook it because the whole movie is really good. So you overlook some of these, like, really stupid things. Like, now, if they had a purple sky.
I think you just overanalyzed.
They had a purple sky.
Jeez. Mortal Kombat.
I almost fell out of my chair with that one. Damn it.
Peter, the symbiote makes sense. And it's Sam
Raimi. Stop the thinky-thinky.
And
you're hurting yourself.
Here's the thing. The multiverse isn't only connected to Spider-Man. The multiverse is connected to Loki. It's connected to Doctor Strange. And it's connected to Scarlet Witch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know that, but this was... Normally, you have to have a device to get to the multiverse, and Doctor Strange was the reason for this and the spell that didn't work in Spider-Man.
The same thing with Wanda.
No. Wanda hasn't done any multiverse shit.
She knows how to control it. Did you not see the actual movie trailer?
What did he say? Do you know anything about the multiverse? And she does not. But he still wants her help because she's super strong.
And that's what kept the symbiote there.
What?
That piece right there.
Just accept it, Peter. Accept it. Stop poking holes in this.
All the other Spider-Mans were variants.
I already said I'm fine with it. It's these little plot holes that's not flushed out, but at the same time, it's still really cool. And you let it slide. That's like fucking comic books all the time.
Then stop bringing it up because it feels like you're not letting it slide.
How many times do they kill someone off and then they just bring them right back? Which, again, I hope they don't do.
That's the multiverse.
Yes, or time travel or some magic spell. Exactly. But that's what they do all the time in comic books, which for whatever reason, it works in comic books.
Now we don't like comic books.
No, I still do.
Fuck them all.
I just said it works for whatever reason. Like it's
because it's starting a brand new arc.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that. You're acceptable with that.
Yeah.
But do you acknowledge that previous arc? No, you don't.
No, I still do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Peter, it was setting up the Doctor Strange in the multiverse.
What?
The mid-credit scene was setting up the actual trailer for the movie.
The Venom part?
Yes.
How? What? Are you just saying that?
No, I know this.
How?
Brain thoughts.
Yeah.
All right.
I was watching Wong travel through portals like nobody's business. I know what's going on.
That was a thing they already established way before.
Wong was literally going to Shang-Chi to go fight Abomination. There's a multiverse connection right there, too.
Here's my... Okay. My last thing on this, because this is the actual last part in the movie. So Peter Parker, he moves on. He does not... Everyone forgets who he is. He did not bring his friends back to, like, try to meet them again, because he's like, they're probably better off. Now they're not going to be in danger. Hence the whole reason why you have a secret identity. And he moves... Well, he was always in New York, but he moves to the real, like, New York, in the middle of New York, and he's flying through, not flying, he's web-slinging through, and he comes across, which, Evan, you probably haven't watched all of Hawkeye, but he comes across to, like, what's the thing with the big tree?
Rockefeller.
Rockefeller Center, and the big tree's there.
Hawkeye is.
Where Hawkeye is, and how come he's not helping Hawkeye?
Because he was swinging through, dude.
So he's like, oh, look at all that shit going on. They got it covered.
You know what would be cool? Is if, like, there was a special episode where he's like, oh, hey, I'm going to help out.
There should have been, like,
because
a little...
Because the Kingpin is Spider-Man's biggest villain.
Yeah, but he's never fought Kingpin, so... Anywho...
In the video game he has...
One of my issues, though, and I think we talked about this before...
Have you played that? Anybody else?
Huh?
You beat that game, right?
Spider-Man? Just not the downloadable content. Okay. Yeah. So... One of my issues with these things is that there's so many different, and I know we talked about this, is that there's so many superheroes. How come they don't help each other? They all get their own separate movies, and then, like, and now you literally have the series, Hawkeye.
You have two Hawkeyes now.
Take place in New York.
In the same time frame.
Where Spider-Man is, and he's nowhere to be seen. Like that just does not...
You know, do you think supervillains like schedule together? Like, hey, let's all hit this bank right now.
Yeah, dude,
they're kind of busy because it's like, hey, if some shit's going down over here, I'm going to go try to steal the flux capacitor over here. And it's all like, guess what? It's just pure chaos. So you got to work together.
So you're saying
to benefit yourself.
Spider-Man was doing something else at that time.
You know, it's like the other Spider-Man's asked. They're like, you were at the Grand Canyon and he needed your help.
Yeah.
With Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where was Daredevil?
Exactly. Daredevil's here. He's like, nah, he's got it.
Where was Punisher?
Well, they haven't introduced him. But what's really cool, though,
we have to wait for Disney to
between Hawkeye series and this movie... is that they pretty much have made it so, like, all those Netflix shows are real. It's in that universe, which is kind of cool to think about.
I don't know if it's official yet.
Oh, it's official.
But, well, I don't know how, like, if it's everyone. Like, is it just Daredevil right now? Will it go further and further?
You're right. They could probably easily be like, nah, we didn't mean that. Yeah. But,
like, sorry, Iron Fist.
But they
not
totally
you.
The big one was Daredevil. The one that mattered was
Daredevil and also Kingpin, because they nailed it. But I also, dude, Punisher, man, is fucking like we talked about this. Like, I thought they did a great job on casting all those people, and I'd be happy, so happy to see them come into the MCU.
They'll have to wait a couple of years so Netflix they can do the Deadpool thing.
Yeah.
So they got to let Tom Holland grow up. Maybe. And then it's like, okay, with the college, it's like, okay, now we can introduce Punisher because it's super violent.
But at the same time, though,
we could make it R.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't even have to, like, here's the great thing, is that you can just bring in whoever you want. Like, I mean, that's what they're doing. You had Hawkeye and Spider-Man in the same spot, but they didn't help each other. Like,
well, did you see Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Did you use your sharp eyes to see Hawkeye?
I did. I saw him.
Did you? He was on the ice, yeah.
Oh. No, he was in the tree.
He was in the tree, that's right. Oh. Kate Bishop was in the building. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see nobody.
Mm. You didn't look far enough.
You gotta look close, dude.
The other thing, okay, is it just me, but that last part when, I like how he has that kind of new shiny suit that he actually makes. Again, another like kind of growing thing. He's coming in.
The Joanne Fabric suit?
Yeah, he's coming into his own where like he's like, all right, it's only him now. But when he flies in, like it's just like his face. Did it look like it was kind of like the animated like face going right into your screen? Like it felt like it was like the Into the Spider-Verse. Did anyone get that or is it just me?
No, I got that. Like the comic book, like
it was really fast, which was like, holy shit, are they?
I blinked.
Yeah.
So
it's like
nothing.
In a blink.
So,
but it felt like, oh shit, is this connected to into the Spider-Verse?
Dude, that's a good way to transition.
They're going to Roger Rabbit it.
Maybe. They probably will, honestly, because if you think about it, this is a movie that's going between different universes. Into the Spider-Verse could connect this to the Sony universe, and then it connected back to the Disney animated origin story that they're doing as well.
They absolutely could.
Like so I don't know. Long story boring. What do you think about this movie?
I loved it. I had little issues.
It did have issues. It did. I mean,
but they're not big issues though. Like they're easy to be like, okay, you go in, you just gotta go on, be along for the ride. That's all. And I was until I started thinking about it.
This movie was great, dude. Like,
yeah,
it did. It captured everything you wanted in what we missed in Marvel movies. Like Black Widow, Eternals, Shang-Chi, they were Marvel movies, but they didn't feel like it.
No,
this felt like a Marvel movie.
I disagree. I mean, it is Marvel. Here's the thing. This is what set this movie apart from the rest, is the fact that you took so many different things from that we've not really seen before. Like, it was just like when you first saw the Avengers. We haven't seen a movie where they took all these different characters from all their single movies and brought them into one. Like, that was really exciting when they first did that. We haven't seen a movie where they took all these other people that played Spider-Man and characters from these other movies that aren't related to this at all and brought them into one. And that was just like the coolest thing that I have seen in a while. That's what set it apart. Like, that's what, like, I was like, holy crap, they actually pulled this off. And it was awesome. Like, that's how I felt about it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't think it was like, oh, this is like so much more Marvel than any other Marvel movie.
It was compared to what came out this year.
It was epic. Absolutely.
The other ones were not epic. This one was epic.
Well, I haven't seen all the other ones, but Shang-Chi I thought was epic as well, and I really enjoyed that one.
I enjoyed it, but it wasn't epic.
But this one, that's what I'm saying. This one had a different feel because like they added so much shit that I was like, wow, I can't believe they pulled that off.
It was epic.
Yeah.
Like a mealtime.
All right. Is there anything else? The last thing I wanted to do with this is just like, what was your favorite scene, your favorite, you know, whatever it is about this film, which I think I already said all of mine. But
yeah.
I feel like Evan kind of really showed up at the end there. It was just Ryan and I just talking about how epic this is. Evan, what was your most epic part?
Most epic part.
The movie.
Nice.
Yes.
How many... 3.45s does it have?
That's not the rating system we use for that. This is a 5 out of 7 stars. Perfect score by this movie.
Yes.
I've bought this movie twice already.
Do you have a favorite part, though, Evan?
Oh, just the interaction between all the Spider-Mans.
Okay.
Like, it was great.
Yeah.
The banter was amazing. Even with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
With Call Me Steven.
Yeah.
Call Me Doctor or Call Me
Sir.
Yeah.
It was just so well written.
Like, yeah, it had so many hidden gems. And, like, this is something I would watch again.
Absolutely.
Just to see what else I could actually, like, fish out.
Yeah. And I think this is a great movie. Just, like, I think it's an easy watch because there's so much going on, and those interactions were so enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got a favorite part, Ryan?
Yes. I agree with you on the three Spider-Man part, but my favorite part is the fight between the Green Goblin and Spider-Man. Like, that was probably the most brutal MCU fight I've seen. And I think Willem Dafoe at his age, doing his own stunts with Tom Holland, and their close interaction was probably the most real fight scene I've seen in a movie in a long time. And
it was great. Yeah.
The ending of it, I mean, basically where Aunt May dies.
Hey, you only get one.
Oh, yeah. Like, where he's like, you made your decision. Peace out. Your aunt's dead. See ya. Like, that scene right there was one of the most emotional scenes I've seen in a Marvel movie since, like, ever.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, not really my favorite, but I already said so many things that I really liked about it. I liked all the things that you just talked about, and, like, Willem Dafoe is just amazing. But also, like, John Favreau, Happy. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. He's also in it. And he did a great job for the parts that he's in it, and he made me laugh. And he also, like, Aunt May breaks up with him. But when he sees her just laying there lifeless, and, like, that part right there was, I felt for him, even though I know he's fictional.
Oh, I felt for him when he had a CPAP machine on. Poor bastard.
That was funny, though. That was great. But that, just that part, and then him getting out and telling Peter to run, like, that was just like it wasn't quite, like, necessary, but I'm so glad that part was in there, because you get that reaction from him, which I thought was just maybe my favorite part is just the acting. Like, I think everyone did a phenomenal job in this film.
He's been in the most Marvel movies, hasn't he?
He is Marvel.
I mean, if you think about it, he's been happy in all the Iron Mans.
No, this one he was sad, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Spider-Mans. He's been in the most, and, like, his character has developed the most. For a side character?
Yeah, he's in quite a bit. I mean, he's connected a lot of it together.
And he was Foggy in Daredevil with Ben Affleck.
He's in that movie?
Yeah, dude.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
Multiverse. Oh, wow. Dude. I'd love Ben Affleck, Daredevil multiverse.
Same thing with, like, Batman, dude. Like, that's what I'm excited. Like, dude, if
you're crossing comics, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, if there's a whole, like, Batman where, like, all the Batman people got together, like, I think that would, I don't know if that would work, though. Because they're not very, like, that'd be such a different tone of a movie where, like, it'd be like
your name's Martha.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom's name is Martha.
Or they're all just disappearing on themselves. Oh, that's what that feels like. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or they're, like, street racing their Batmobiles.
And their bat pods. Yeah.
Peter would shut that movie off.
I would. Like,
he would go up to the movie theater projector and be like,
it's gonna be interesting. Like, now I'm, like, curious about how, like, can DC pull off their Flashpoint, you know? It's gonna be interesting to see. Like, I mean, and this is, we were talking about last episode how, like, it seems like a lot of movies are kind of going in this direction because that's like the it thing right now is this multiverse scenario.
Oh, well, I'm curious if you have to have the DC TV subscription to be ready for Flashpoint.
Oh,
so HBO.
Sure, whatever.
They got rid of it because I don't think it did very well.
Awful.
Oh, but Swamp Thing. Oh, man.
Yeah. Good. Did you even watch all of that?
I watched the one episode that was out. and then I had to leave.
And then you're done. I got, like, halfway, and then it was like I found out that they axed, like,
the rest of the season and like half-assed the ending. I was like, well, I don't know if I want to watch that. Beginning was good. I'm with you, Evan.
See?
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. This is a really long spoiler episode, which we haven't done a spoiler episode in forever.
Like 2 years.
Yeah, we just spoil here and there. Yeah.
Whenever we want to.
But this, I feel like this is a movie that deserved it, where there was so much to unpack. I wish we did this for Ghostbusters Afterlife. I think that would have been fun,
spoiler,
too.
Spoiler, there's ghosts.
Oh, dude.
And busting.
Jeez.
And wow.
Bill Murray.
Bill fucking Murray. And watch that's the mouth. Perfect way to end this. We'll see everyone in the new year. Happy New Year!
Pew pew out.
Pew 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 pew.
Oh, yeah, push the button.
Pew 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 pew. Still pew pewing.